journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just
a second.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Thursday, April 29th, 2010, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
An environmental disaster unfolds off the Gulf Coast. We'll look at the impact of BP's oil spill and a new report on the challenges migrants face when crossing from Central America to the U.S. through Mexico, plus a preview of this year's May Day. This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. A massive oil spill emanating from an exploding rig in the Gulf of Mexico is threatening to kill marine life and endanger the Gulf Coast. 11 workers went missing and are now presumed dead when the Deepwater Horizon rig burst into flames on April 20th and sank 2 days later. The rig is owned by Transocean and was operated by UK-based oil giant BP, who is now responsible for the financial costs of cleanup. The oil spill has spread so far that it is about 600 miles in circumference, an area bigger than the state of West Virginia. The rate of the spill was understood to be about 1,000 barrels a day, but as of yesterday afternoon, it is estimated that the rate is actually five times greater. After days of debate over how to handle the spill, the U.S. Coast Guard has begun small controlled burns, just as the spill has reached within 20 miles of the Louisiana and Mississippi coasts. But while the burning could slow the spread of the spill, it does not address the continuous expelling of oil from the ocean floor. Currently, 8 underwater robots are attempting to stop the oil from gushing out. This morning, the U.S. military has joined the effort. According to the BBC, quote, the scale of the operation to contain the oil spill and protect both the U.S. coastline and wildlife is unprecedented. Recently, much to the dismay of environmentalists, President Obama had backed off on a campaign promise of a moratorium on oil drilling by announcing expanded offshore drilling rights. But now, with the timing of the Deepwater Horizon spill, political allies on the issue seem to be backing off. Yesterday, the heads of Homeland Security and the Interior Department launched a joint investigation into the causes of the explosion, which could lead to public hearings and subpoenas. Joining me on the phone right now is Marcy Kiever. She directs Friends of the Earth's Clean Vessels campaign, which fights air and water pollution from ships and other ocean vessels, including oil rigs and offshore drilling platforms. She's the former program director of San Francisco Beautiful, former staff attorney of Our Children's Earth Foundation. Welcome to Uprising, Marcy.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us. Well, the big news this morning is that the spill is thought to be five times greater, oil gushing out five times the rate than previously thought, at about 5,000 barrels a day. What was your reaction when you heard that? Are we in big trouble here?
Well, yes, we were in big trouble a week ago, and we continue to be in big trouble with this oil spill in the Gulf. And not only are folks waking up this morning to hear that this is five times greater than anticipated or thought, we are also hearing reports from some experts that it could be 20 times greater with the extent of the oil spill at this point. So we're talking on order of something like Exxon Valdez in less than 2 weeks, if that is the case, and in a couple of months, if not.
Now, there are, I understand, at least 2 leaks and possibly 3 leaks. What is the special circumstance around this particular spill, given that it is really in deep waters? I understand that the effort to stop the leak and clean up the spill, especially stopping the leak, is that much greater because we're talking about a depth of 5,000 feet here.
Yes, we're looking at more than a mile below the surface, and it makes it even more difficult for the company and the government to actually even figure out what is leaking, let alone how to cap the well. And just last year in August, in the Timor Sea off Australia, a platform blew out, and it took 71 days before the well could be capped and halted.
Well, there are several ideas that are being tried out. I mentioned the Coast Guard trying these controlled burns that they did start doing yesterday afternoon. BP is considering drilling a second well to pour concrete or heavy mud or fluid down to stop the leak. There's also construction that's begun on a dome-like collection device that could be positioned over the leak to capture the oil and then send it through pipes to the surface. But all of this could take several weeks. There's also chemicals that have been sprayed on the surface of the oil slick to disperse them. Any thoughts on all of these methods that are being employed to clean up the spill?
Well, there are many methods that are being discussed. The burning is extremely unfortunate, especially now it looks as though the winds are changing, and so the smoke and the air pollution from the burns that they're talking about and have already started doing will now potentially go onshore to pollute folks on shore. And when you're talking about something like drilling another well, that can take up to 90 days, was being reported. So the potential for burning the oil will only take care of a fraction, and just the lighter product that's on the surface, it doesn't take care of the heavier tar-like substance that comes from, you know, directly out of the ground from the crude oil. And, you know, that can't be taken care of by burning, and looks to end up onshore if the weather stays the way it is.
What about these dispersing chemicals that have been sprayed and are being sprayed by airplanes on the surface of the water to break up the oil? Aren't the chemicals also dangerous potentially?
Yes, they are extremely dangerous to the public health and also the marine ecosystem of the Gulf, which is already so severely impacted by a variety of sources of pollution.
Now, I understand the Audubon Society is also expressing great concern about birds in the area that are now being frightened away from the spill by firing cannons. The Coast Guard, I understand, is attempting to frighten the birds away from the oil spill so that they don't get trapped in the oil. But this is a very important time for birds because they are nesting at this point. They are in a very important reproductive stage of their lives. So this could really threaten the bird life there.
Oh, most definitely. And seabirds are usually, they are among the most vulnerable, especially in open waters from the floating oil. They dive for food. They congregate on the surface. And, you know, any oil on the birds ends up they either drown or starve because they lose body heat from the oil, and there's just absolutely nothing that could be done once the oil is spilled. You know, some birds can be saved, but I'm sure once this, we really can take a look at it, you know, in the future, the loss, especially to bird life, will be enormous, let alone the other wildlife. In the Gulf, we were hearing reports yesterday that whales were swimming in the oil slick, and this is a huge, huge hit to the commercial and recreational fishing industry in the Gulf.
Which already had been fragile to begin with for many years, is that right?
Yes, yes. And
plus,
we're coming into the summer season, you know.
Tourism.
Tourism, coming to beaches. I mean, this is... We were really, over 40 years ago, when Platform A blew out off the California coast in Santa Barbara, and that spill was 100,000 gallons. And we saw the impact that that had on the tourism industry, the ecosystem, and we started to back off oil drilling. You know, California hasn't had new oil drilling in years and years, and yet we're seeing proposals from the Obama administration for new oil drilling off the coast of the Atlantic and the Gulf. And unfortunately, with an incident like this of just, you know, epic and tragic proportions, proposals to open even more drilling, more exploration, more oil drilling are really just going in the wrong direction.
And I do want to talk about the political impact of this spill in just a moment, but I think it should also be acknowledged 11 people were killed in this rig explosion, and this comes, you know, shortly after something like almost 30 people killed in the coal mine in West Virginia. Can you discuss the impacts to workers and worker safety that such very, very dangerous jobs have, and how these sorts of issues get played out in the news? I mean, we don't really hear much about the fact that 11 human beings were killed.
I know. That is also another terrible tragedy, the loss of human life from the quest for fossil fuels. And so not only do we see an immediate impact on the 11 families who've lost someone, the impacts that will continue over the next weeks, months, and years from the pollution to human life and marine life from the quest for fossil fuels.
Marcy Kiever is my guest, and she is with Friends of the Earth. She's the director of their Clean Vessels campaign, which fights air and water pollution from ships and other ocean vessels, including oil rigs and offshore drilling platforms. We're talking about the impact of the Deepwater Horizon rig that is, and the impact of it both politically and environmentally. Let's talk about the politics now. You mentioned, of course, President Obama has really expanded the rights, or at least talked about expanding the rights for offshore oil drilling. But as of now, given this horrific oil spill, Florida Governor Charlie Crist is apparently rethinking his support for offshore drilling. He had been a big supporter. Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat from Florida, who had just last month given tentative support to Obama's offshore plan, is also now looking into that. He has called for an investigation. Will this oil spill, you think, have the right kind of impact on offshore drilling and the expansion of offshore drilling?
It's unfortunate that such a terrible disaster really does bring to the fore the inherent and unavoidable risk that offshore oil drilling presents. There's never going to be risk-free oil drilling. And so if something like this can have a positive impact, it's really driving the folks who make the decisions in Washington and at the state level to rethink their positions. And President Obama was talking about opening 167 million acres of ocean off the Atlantic coast to new oil drilling exploration, and 40 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico and off of Florida. And this is just, we feel, the wrong direction to take, and if anything can come out of this tragedy, it's to rethink those ideas and to look towards a more responsible energy future with renewables, cleaner fuels, and public transportation.
And Marcy, is it known what even caused this explosion?
It isn't necessarily known. They don't really know right now. We are hearing reports this morning that this rig, even though it was brand new and state-of-the-art, lacked safety devices that would have potentially shut down in the emergency explosion that they had. And so those things will be, I'm sure, investigated very strongly in the future.
Now, this is the sort of thing that often does happen when we have, a lot of offshore oil drills that companies had been relying on more and more in recent years. BP itself has an interesting history, Marcy. I understand in 2005 that their refinery in Texas City killed 15 people, and it also had problems with pipeline corrosion in Alaska that resulted in oil leaks. But yet this is a company that is one of the largest oil companies in the world, and they've had record profits this year, billions of dollars of profits.
Yes, and they've unfortunately opposed stronger mandatory rules for offshore drilling operations in the past year when stronger rules were proposed by the federal government. And this well, in particular, BP has been allowed to drill at the Deepwater Horizon rig without paying royalties. They have been subsidized by the government, and there are no royalties being paid for the oil that they were taking out of the Gulf.
Where is this oil all going to go? I mean, they can try to control the leak. They can try to burn off some of the oil, but ultimately it's going to spread through the ocean, right?
Yes, spread through the ocean, and at this point, with the prevailing winds headed toward land, we'll end up on the shore. I think it's less than 15 miles off the coast of the Mississippi Delta in Louisiana, and very, very sensitive habitat, marshland. You know, we saw the damage that can be caused in these sensitive ecosystems with previous oil spills, and we're coming in to summer when people go to the beach, and you know, this is going to be a huge blow to the states that are hit when this oil reaches shore.
Marcy, I understand that environmental groups are saying that offshore wind farms are the way to go rather than offshore oil drilling. This week, there was good news for environmentalists when the Cape Wind offshore wind farm was finally given approval by the Interior Department after 9 years of review, a much, much longer time than a coal mine is reviewed usually. 130-turbine wind farm that is the first utility-scale offshore wind farm in the country. Is this sort of renewable energy source going to, you think, get a shot in the arm now?
We definitely hope so, and this is what Friends of the Earth has been calling for many, many years. The right direction to take is to look at any and all alternatives that are available. The offshore drilling opening proposed by the Obama administration would take at least 10 to 15 years to even come into production if that moves forward. And we should, instead of moving in the wrong direction towards oil drilling and fossil fuel extraction, we should be moving towards the proper, correct, cleaner energy future, things like wind and solar, things like more fuel-efficient cars, cars that plug in, better public transportation infrastructure that will have real and measurable effects.
Marcy Kiever, finally, what can people do in terms of asserting the political impact of this oil spill and using it to press forward on fewer offshore rigs? There's obviously very little that individuals can do about the spill itself, right?
That is true. Over 16,000 activists have joined Friends of the Earth in our call to President Obama to reconsider his plan for more offshore drilling. We have a petition on our website, which is at foe.org, that people can sign. And the more people that speak out, the more people that join together and have their voices heard on issues like this, the more likely it will be that we can move in the right direction to an oil-free future.
That's foe.org. And finally, earlier in the interview, you had mentioned that this could be as big as Exxon Valdez and that particular devastating oil spill that is, you know, now considered a historic moment. And the officials at BP are scrambling to prevent those comparisons. Do you think ultimately this will be such a vast disaster, a disaster of such vast scale that we're going to see a second Exxon Valdez?
I think we're approaching that. This is, again, a tragedy of, in many ways, epic proportions. And as the days go by and the estimates of how much is being leaked and the estimates of how long it will take to cap this well, it will only take 2 months to get to an Exxon Valdez-type disaster if, 5,000 barrels a day are what's leaking. And
If it's 20,000 barrels, then it could be just days. Wow.
2 weeks, yes, just days. And, we are just hoping they do everything they can to stop it and that this will somehow allow the federal government and even oil companies to rethink their positions on stronger regulations and rules for these types of things and really move again towards a cleaner energy future for the country and the world.
Marcy Kiever, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali.
Marcy Kiever is a director of the Clean Vessels Program at Friends of the Earth. She's also the former program director of San Francisco Beautiful and former staff attorney of our Children's Earth Foundation. She's based in the Bay Area, and we've just been speaking to her by phone about the incredibly massive oil spill that is unfolding off of the Gulf Coast when a rig operated by BP, the UK oil giant, burst into flames on April 20th, sank 2 days later, killing 11 people. This morning, the big news is that 5,000 barrels of oil a day are leaking, as opposed to the 1,000 a day that were thought to be leaking.